Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 638. I'm one of your hosts, Skyler Verkoy, and joining me today, as ever, is Jim McDowell. Jim, how's it going?
It's great, man. We are in final countdown mode for racing, and that is the best thing that could happen. Plus, we have a lot of news to cover, so I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for this show. It's race week. It's been, let's see, what are we in? Week 20 something, 30? We're halfway through the year, so we're almost there. And we haven't been able to say that yet, so.
I saw something from MotoGP that they tweeted, it's been like 250 days since there was a race. That's 116 days short of a year, or 115 days short of a year. That's just not even funny.
No, that's too many days in between. But so on this show, we're going to be covering the news. There's been lots of it, so kind of glad that we missed a few weeks. And we will get on to why we've been absent towards the end of the show. So if you're interested, just go ahead and hang on to the end. But this show keeps running, and we keep the lights on because of donators and super cool friends of the show, such as Nick Saban, Scott Saunter, Alan Fleming, and Keith Kovac. If you want to join them in being part of the Super Friends Club, I guess you could say, you can head over to our page. That's motopodcast.com. There'll be a donate button there on the left-hand side. You can go ahead and click that. You can do a one-time donation, or you can sign up for a monthly subscription for as little as $2. Any amount you set is just fine with us. We always appreciate all the help that we can get here to keep the show up and going. Patreon is another option that you have. If the PayPal is not your thing, you can go over to patreon.com/motopod. All right. So we don't have any listener feedback, but that's okay because we've got plenty of news to talk about. Jim, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I want to kind of sidetrack you here for a second. You watch Formula One like I do, right? Casual fan kind of thing?
Of course.
Yeah. So for those of you who are like living in a hole, Formula One started and they raced two races in Austria. And the one thing that I thought was really super interesting was that everyone had a mask, everyone was 6 feet apart, and it made me realize that we are not alone in any of this. It was very cool to, not cool, that's the wrong word. It was very intriguing, interesting to realize that, you know, hey, Europe is battling the same thing we are. I think as Americans, we have such a big country, we kind of lose sight of what is the world and what isn't, and it was just very different to watch that and understand that everyone else is dealing with the same thing that we are. And we are all humans on one planet trying to deal with something that happened. And it just made me stop and think for a minute, you know, and just kind of cherish what I have. That's all.
No, it's true. I mean, and you see the massive effort we got to see there on display with Formula One, and it's going to be very much the same here. MotoGP kicks off this weekend, and it takes quite a bit. I mean, they're doing tests once, twice a week. They're kind of got this traveling circus mentality now to where they are all moving together from place to place, track to track, hotel to hotel, bus to bus, plane to plane, whatever they need to do. And it's a huge undertaking. Almost to the point, if you really look at it and you really think about it, you have to sit there and wonder how in the hell they're getting this done. But yeah, all kudos. I mean, that's why it's world level. It is the best of the best, not just the guys on the track, but the guys backing them up on the teams as well.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a worldwide pandemic, and we're all in this together. And I thought it's like you said, everybody's in a bubble. And so it's not just us. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's everyone, and they're doing everything they can to give us some entertainment. And I think we need to respect that and understand that, hey, just because some races have been canceled or whatnot, everyone's doing their best. And we just can't forget that.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's hit the news, my friend. Ready?
Oh, I am definitely ready for this news. I had to adjust it about three times over the last couple of weeks, but we are good now.
Yeah, we are. Okay. So, to no one's surprise, Paul Espargaró is headed to HRC to team with Marc Marquez next year. We had the rumors that he had a contract with HRC and that he wouldn't be riding on the KTM. And now that has been confirmed. So in 2021, Paul Espargaro heads to HRC. What happens to that other Marquez, the Alex kid? Well, it's now been confirmed that Alex heads to LCR. Thank you very much, Skyler. You were 100% on the money with that one. And he's going to pair Takaki Nakagami. Then you are going, wait, what about Cal Crutchlow? Well, Cal is gone from LCR. Honda has thanked him for all the work and dedication that he's put in. But fear not, Cal has said that he's not retiring, or he's never said that he was retiring from the sport. He just simply acknowledged that his time at Honda had ended, although Taki Nakagami does not have a contract signed for 2021. Lucio wants to keep Cal, so it is possible Cal may continue on the LCR bike, but there are very strong rumors that Cal is going to take up the Aprilia seat left by Iannone because of his drug dietary thing that supposedly he did but didn't do. So he might be there. Yeah, so what I'm missing on all this, because it's so many moving parts.
Yeah, so at first, you know, it came up that said, okay, well, Alex going to LCR, that just kind of made sense. That's why we came up to that conclusion that's might what happened, right? Like, oh, you know, they're not even giving him a chance on the bike. And that's when we both of us said, like, okay, what does Honda know that we don't know? Something else is in the works here. And the most likely was just Cal Crutchlow, not because Cal's done bad or anything like that, but it's the team that Honda uses as their development team. And Cal's done his work, he's done his development work, but Honda's kind of like, all right, well, we've gotten what we kind of needed from you, thank you, have a nice day. And Lucio's like, wait a minute, this guy brought a lot of success to my team, I'm not really wanting to let him go, because we don't know what Taka Nakagami could be successful, but we haven't quite seen it yet. There's been spurts of the talent, but there is definitely no guarantee that he is going to flourish on this bike or this team. So he's kind of, I'm sure there's some partnerships that, as far as sponsorship, because we know Lucio is probably the best at getting sponsors for his team, even so much as running multiple graphics throughout the year, liveries. But if, you know, if he loses Cal, he might lose some of those, so he's got to think about that. But the big thing is Lucio can't rock the boat with Honda. He gets a lot of help from Honda as well, and if they want a Japanese rider on their bike, well, I don't know how much there's pool Lucio's going to...
There will be a Japanese rider on that bike. Let's make no mistake about that. Yeah. The sponsorship thing to me is interesting because I think Lucio has some deal with Castrol, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And I think Castrol is a British-based company.
It very well could be. That does...
I don't know that for 100%, but I've always believed that. Or
we've got the internet, Jim. We've got the internet.
I'll talk. You do your thing.
Castrol is a British global brand of industrial and automotive lubricants. There you go.
Right. So that begs the question: is Castrol going to be happy if Cal isn't on that motorcycle?
Well, given the current economic trend that we're on right now, I would even say it comes down to being, if you're happy or not, it's an easy out to stop spending money in racing, right?
True. Yeah. But I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, I go back to HRC getting, after 95, they had Repsol sponsorship, even though Doon was still racing the bike. But what did they do? They put a Spanish rider, Alex Crevier, on the bike to just so that Repsol could justify the expenditure of money that they were going to give them to run the team. Incredibly successful partnership even to this day. But you've got to think that it makes it a little easier if you can say you have your countrymen riding on a team that is sponsored by, you know, the British giant that is Castrol. it's an easier sell to your board, right? Hey, look, absolutely, we've got this British spokesperson who is on this team, and if we throw them some money, we get some cool commercials, et cetera, right? That's it's an interesting dynamic, and that's just food for thought.
Yeah, and then it comes down to, will Lucho even need Castro to come back? Because Alex Marquez definitely brings his sponsorship as well. He may even bring some of the Repsol money with him.
He might bring Repsol. He might bring Estrella Galicia. That's a Spanish beer giant. And their big thing now is, their big thing is sort of personal sponsorships. You see it in Formula One with Carlos Sainz. Mm-hmm. His halo loop on the car says, Estrella Galicia 0.0, a non-alcoholic brew. So that could come back on to Lucio's bikes. It's moving parts and pieces, but if anybody is going to come out of this smelling like a rose, it's going to be Lucio, right? It's just, somehow he's not going to lose.
No. Either way, he's getting the what Honda wants, you know, Honda gets, or he gets to keep his boy Cal, which he has a great relationship for another couple of years. Well, I think Cal is probably thinking he might be his last contract that he signs. I don't mean as a talent wise, I'm just, these guys get tired of doing these things after a while, traveling the world. And this year, I think, might help them make up their mind, because it's going to be, I mean, this is work for them, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be a lot less fun for them, because they're going to be confined to the room if they're not out, you know, with the team in the garage working on the bike. They're kind of be told to, hey, you need to go back to your room because we don't want you to be out here. It's minimize the exposure. And I kind of wondered this during Formula One too. It's like, some guys don't deal typically well with isolation so much. They're very, very extrovert, and they like to get out there, and they like to get out there and talk with people and socialize and see all the people from the different teams and go over and talk to the guys over, you know, working with the tires, go talk to the guys during the fuel and make their way around and see all their buddies, and they won't get to do that. And it may leave a bitter taste or a sour taste in some of the riders' mouths, such as Cal, who have been there, done that, seen that. Maybe he'll get to him, like, you know, I'd rather just spend time with my family than doing this. Or, you know, he gets a really good year and it fires him up because he has a short year and he's really successful and he gets another contract somewhere. Tough to call. But anyway, there's still news to cover. We'll slide into the next bit of news, because we're going to keep it going with the contract theme. And Franco Morbidelli has now signed a 2-year contract with Petronas Yamaha team. I think we all pretty much assume this is going to happen. And they haven't announced who the other rider is going to be, because I think we're still working out the deals and what the money amount is going to be for the Valentino Rossi contract, or maybe even the length of the contract. Last I heard that money was a bit of an issue, but more importantly, it was Rossi wanted to bring his whole crew, and Petronas wasn't really big about that.
Yep. So that begs the question. Rossi is in control of his own destiny, as he always has been, as he has the right to do. But with this global pandemic, you have to think Rossi's mind is really leaning towards, do I really need to do this anymore? I don't blame the man. I don't think he has anything to prove to anybody. He can stop whenever he wants to stop. If I was Rossi, I would have stopped several years ago, to be honest. But he has a love for it. He has a deep love for it. But Rossi's like any other racer I've ever known or seen. They're not happy unless they're at the front, or at least on a motorcycle that they perceive can be raced at the front. Because if they're not happy, that's part of how you go fast. It's that piece of the puzzle that's the mystery, the secret ingredient, the whatever you want to call it. I don't know if Rossi is happy anymore. If I look at Rossi from, say, 2015 to 2019, you can see that Rossi has aged. You know, Rossi used to look young, youthful, vibrant, and completely, you know, like he still looked like he was in his 20s, right? Rossi doesn't look that way anymore. And that's just Father Time. I don't look like I looked when I was in my 20s. You probably don't look like you looked like you were in your 20s. Whatever, right? It's age, it's time. It's just, you got to think that there's something else that he would want to do. And I think he's, I think the bigger hangup in his contract isn't the money. I think it's whether or not he owns a piece of the team and whether he gets to be team manager or rider coach. Take your pick. I think that's the sticky point of it.
That's interesting.
Because I think Rossi loves the idea of his ranch. I think he loves teaching the young guns what it takes to be a champion, right? You hear this a lot in hockey. The rookies have to learn how to be a pro. What does it mean to be a pro? I think there's a lot to be said about what it takes to be a world championship caliber rider, okay? A lot of guys who make it to that level, they were the best guy at every track they ever went to. And they were the big fish in what would arguably be a small pond. Well, when you get to this level, everybody is that guy who dominated their respective series, class, or country. But now you're all together. That is a mind meld right there. And if you're suddenly running 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, that weighs on your mind incredibly. But you haven't figured out that it's not you. It's maybe you're not understanding the motorcycle, how the motorcycle needs to be ridden, how you're going to deal with a team that isn't maybe a team that was like your parents or close friends, something of that nature, to working with true professionals who this is what they do. And they're like, nah, you got to have a bike like this because it won't work with these tires or whatever that is, whatever these intangibles are. So there's this whole mind anxiety, performance anxiety, I think is what I'm looking for, that's there that Rossi can help you with. And that makes what Rossi's dynamic so great. And that's why I think there's this Patronus thing, because I think he needs a way to migrate his kids from the ranch to his VR46 Academy 125 or Moto 3 team. He can graduate them from there when they're ready to the Moto 2 team, but he has nowhere to go to put them on a Moto GP ride. He would have to find rides for them with the other factories. If you own your own team and you can, and you have enough rapport with Yamaha that they're going to give you the latest factory spec equipment, wouldn't you want a place to put your riders that you've been grooming for all that time?
I mean, yeah, it's just following the footsteps of like KTM, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you know, Rossi has built a brand that is equivalent to essentially KTM, and he just needs one more place to go. And I just think that that's where that's the sticking point, is how much does he own or how much control is he going to get to put riders on that bike? That's what I think is going on.
It is interesting theory, and maybe we'll be 2 for 2 in predictions when we find out next week, because I'm sure he'll have it signed before the first, or maybe this weekend he'll announce during the race weekend, but we'll see. Oh, just a side note, people probably hate our Formula One talk, but just, did you see a Formula One's going to Mugello this year?
Yes, and I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off and I'm happy, okay? I'm pissed off because I love motorcycles at Mugello. I'm super excited because I've always wanted to see a Formula One car at Mugello. Do you get the... You know?
I get it. No, I get it. It's kind of like the, like, this is a motorcycle track. Oh, it's actually Ferrari's track. But, you know, I wonder how they're going to handle it, because, you know, this is the fastest track for motorcycles. That big slingshot of a last turn onto the straightaway, and it's sketchy, and I can only imagine these cars. I just hope they don't put a bunch of speed bumps in it or braking bumps when the bikes come back the next year and they've pushed that asphalt around a little bit, that it makes it hard for them to get around at the pace that you're used to. But we shall see.
Ferrari tests their cars there, test tires there. It's true. And apparently they haven't really messed it up that bad yet, but that's one car versus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Over. So
next.
Right. So continue on with contracts, and this is more of a rumor. Well, it's not even a rumor. He actually confirmed, but Jorge Lorenzo, and this is from Crash.net, he confirmed that he has started talks with Ducati about riding for the team should Andrea Dovizioso not re-sign with the team. There's been rumor that Ducati has asked Dovizioso to lower his salary from the reported $8 million to down to $3 million. Dovi's stance and his manager's stance is that he has been the only threat to Marc Marquez over the last few years by finishing second in the championship.
I'm going to call BS on that, because The only guy who's now on Marc Marquez's radar for being competition is Quartararo.
Yeah, And that's the thing, like, you know, Dovizioso, you kind of see this is the beginning of the sunset, one would think, right, over the last couple of years. Still fast, but definitely not where he was maybe a couple of years ago. And unfortunately, he may have lost some of the leverage of his argument here after breaking his collarbone in a motocross race that he considered his training. So he's not really in the best position, I think, right now when it comes to contracts, because he's talking about even taking a year off. And it's like, I don't know if you can do that in MotoGP, considering the talent that's servicing right below, from Moto2 to the rookies in the class to guys like Zarco, who are sitting on a Ducati. Should Zarco have a good year on the Ducati, maybe he just moves on up. You never know. There's strange things. I mean, Pecco Bagnaia might just have a sophomore season that's unbelievable. I really wouldn't leave that to chance by stepping away for a year, because you have zero championships and you have a good amount of wins, right? But you're not what they would consider special, or the best term that we've had for motorcycle racing over the last decade. You're not one of the aliens. So I don't know if he's got really any leverage at this point with Ducati.
I say he's got none, very little. This is not Formula One where you can be Alonso and sit out a year and get a factory ride with Renault.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show. We'll talk about that. We got F1 things. We won't mention anymore. Sorry, everybody. Two wheels, not four. We'll keep going.
Hey, it's racing. Come on, people. Leave me alone. But I don't think Dovi has a leg to stand on. I don't think Dovi is worth $8 million. Not now. Not at this point in his career. No. I wouldn't want to pay that. I would want to have some price reduction. You know, you could maybe attend the contract with, hey, if you score X number of points, we'll give you another $1 million. If you win the championship, we'll give you another $2 million. You could maybe structure it that way so that each person has got some skin in the game. Dovizioso is trying to ride better, ride harder, ride closer to the front, beat Marquez, right? So there's an incentive, right? Ducati gets an incentive there, and their only risk is paying more money. So I would go down that road, but I think Ducati knows that Miller is going to be the next wunderkind, and they need some cash to take care of him, or they will need some cash. Well, and they also
Go ahead. Same thing. We might be going to the same point here.
We might be. I want to see if you're thinking what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, they're also, you know, they've taken a hit just like everybody else with COVID and losing money, and they've got to protect as much of their budget as they can.
I was down the same path. I was thinking this is probably a way for them to put more money into development, which is what the bike needs.
Yep.
And it needs to be real. It needs to be real development in my mind too. It can't be gizmos and tech wizardry that Delinea is famous for. This isn't just bolting a wing onto the front of the motorcycle. It isn't going to be, you know, a fin underneath the swing arm to cool the rear tire for Petrucci. We're talking some really hardcore development that they're going to have to do. Some really hard work on their chassis, their setup, maybe some suspension. They might have to be moving more outside the box and rotating that 90-degree V back a little bit more to get the front end to come in to give you a little bit more. Which way is that? Is that rake? Give it a little bit more rake, less rake, right? Steepen up the angle so it'll turn and pivot a little bit better. Maybe that's going to change the weight transfer a little bit. I think they're going to have to go down that way, as opposed to being like the true L4 with a set of cylinders pointed straight out the front. They're gonna have to start rotating that thing backwards, and they might have to. It may not. You know, 90-degree V's are definitely they're balanced. They don't need a balanced shaft because they're naturally in balance with each other. But look at Honda. That thing's rotated way back. It's like 60 degrees off of the horizontal. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ducati doesn't have to sort of move in that direction. So some cash flow to do that development would be nice.
So what? Well, they did cut some of their cash this year when they let Petrucci go. But it's okay, because he found a seat with the KTM Tech 3 team for the 2021 season. Oliveira is going to be stepping up to the factory team to join Brad Binder. So there'll be two young guys who kind of gone through the KTM program, got their way up to, it's going to be able to see how they've developed, and I think they're going to do well. I want to see where the KTM is at. I would have liked to see Pol maybe stick out with them a little bit longer because it seems like he's got them going in the right direction. But, I mean, it's a Honda contract. You don't turn that down. I mean, you just don't. But definitely it's exciting for the KTM. Now, hopefully Petrucci definitely, you know, can bring some experience and development to the KTM Junior team and help them get along too. The only fear I have is he's been on nothing but the Ducati, so hopefully when he gets there he has more of an adaptive mind instead of the bike needs to do this because that's what the Ducati did. That's not going to work because that KTM is a different beast.
Mm-hmm. It's a very different beast, and that's one of the reasons that Espargaro has got a Honda contract. He's ridden the beast before.
This and is that's true.
Kind of where, let's face it, I think KTM is a clone of a Honda with a lot of, you know, in a lot of ways.
Well, look who they got leading their development now.
Pedrosa, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, people are going to laugh at that steel frame on that KTM, but that actually is a really good thing. You can build those frames faster. You can cut them and move things around a lot quicker and a lot easier than you can in an aluminum frame. But once you finally get some base geometry worked out, then you can build an aluminum frame. But I don't think KTM is going to ever go away from that trellis, that steel trellis. Remains to be seen.
I thought they went to twin spar last year. I thought they started backing away from that.
Yeah, but it's a twin spar steel trellis.
Yeah.
Not a trellis, but it's a twin spar steel chassis.
Hmm.
I guess the steel is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, you are right. I got lost there. It's COVID, people. I got an excuse.
And we're thinking about other things. We're ready for this race season to be good. You mentioned Alonso came out of retirement. Well, we had a little bit of that in MotoGP as well. Well, Moto E, I should say. But Jakob Kornfeld, he's coming out of retirement to replace Bradley Smith at the Petronas SRT run with the Motorsport Moto E team. Woo! That's a lot going on with that name.
That's enough.
Yes, it is. That's because Bradley Smith is going to be pulling full-time duty racing with Aprilia this year. He is their test rider, but he's going to be going ahead and riding that bike full-time because, as we know, Andrea Iannone, he's expected to be out for the season. He does have his appeal, I think, coming up not so long from now, but I don't know if I've ever seen anybody appeal, especially when you have two samples go negative. If you watch a lot of cycling, you'll know that's like a 0% success rate. So best of luck to him, but definitely good move by Bradley just to kind of commit to just doing the MotoGP program, not trying to stretch himself thin by, I don't even know if he actually could do both. I don't think you're allowed to do two classes a weekend. But yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. So what rock have I been under? I don't remember anything about Kornfeld retiring.
You know, I don't think it was a large announcement. I think it might have been the old, I lost my ride, so you know what? I can't find another one. I'm good. I'm going to go home. Okay. Because I don't think, because Kornfeld, now if I, let's see, no, I'm thinking of, he rides at GP, why am I can't remember his name right now, his dad owns the,
Carol Abraham?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, yes, getting my checks mixed up there, but yes, so, I think Kornfeld might have had some backing before, but after losing his rides, because he was always kind of a guy that would show up in the front about half the season, the other half you didn't really know where he was, so he never really could make the jump up to the next level. But it's kind of good that this is the kind of thing Moto E needs. They need some name recognition, but they also need guys that have been at the front of races and racing hard and can develop these bikes. And Kornfeld's not a bad choice for that.
Yeah, I agree. So, in case you did not know, the MotoGP round at COTA, the race here in the U.S., has been canceled. I mean, I'm not surprised by it. I don't think you are surprised by it, Skylar. I think we've been calling that one for a while. So as a ticket holder for the race this year, COTA is giving you an option. You can get the money back if you want. If not, hey, you have tickets for 2021. They already have a date. It's April 6th through 8th. So change your flights, change your hotels, change your rental cars, people, and I guess we'll see you in Texas in 2021.
Hopefully.
You got to be a Debbie Downer on that, don't you?
I mean, when the trend starts going down, I'll change up how I feel, but yeah.
I agree with you.
When it comes to vaccines, some require boosters, and they don't always, you know, it isn't like it just gets rid of everything and we're right back to normal. It takes a while to test long-term effects, so.
We're not going to talk about vaccines and testing. Okay, my wife does infectious disease and vaccines and all that kind of crap, and I'm tired of it. No, not on this podcast. No. No.
All right. So our buddies over at Moto Matters, they had a FIM press release announcing that two riders would face hearing at Jerez for breaching practice rules, which governs which bikes riders can use when they're riding at a track outside of officially sanctioned Grand Prix test. It quickly emerged that Quartararo was one of those riders involved, and the other being Sergio Garcia. There were some images. I don't have it written down here, but if I recall correctly from the article, Quartararo is sponsored by a parts maker, or I'm not sure what they do, but they do have a team. I think it's in World Endurance, maybe. It's a Yamaha team, and they brought him out. I think they're a French company as well. So they're like, hey, why don't you come out? We'll do some photo ops. You can ride our bike. Let us know how the bike feels, so on and so forth. And the rule, I believe, with MotoGP is that the bike that you're allowed to test on cannot be within, like, 200 cc's of the engine that you ride. And then if you do ride something, I think they're allowed to ride super bikes, but they can't have, like slicks or race brakes on it, that kind of thing. There's better explanation, and if you want to get the full breakdown and how that works, go over to motomatters.com. There's where all the information is going to be if you want to really get, you know, a great understanding of what happened. But honestly, it's probably really going to be on a slap on the wrist, because MotoGP does not need to penalize one of their most exciting riders, who's probably going to be one of the few guys that can challenge Marquez this year. They're not going to put him on the back foot. They're just going to say, please don't do that again. You should know better by now. Slap on the wrist, maybe a little fine, and then see you later.
Yeah, that story made no sense to me, because it was like, hey, here's Quartararo. He's on a superbike. And I'm thinking, you really cannot mistake a superbike and a MotoGP bike. I mean, the sounds are just completely different. So this whole thing has been weird in my mind. I'm not doubting that Quartararo, you know, was in breach of the rules at some point, somewhere, some way. But you are right in that this is going to be a fine and a, hey, don't you ever do this again kind of thing. And then that's going to be it. And they can't, in this year, they can't afford Quartararo to be, you know, oh, hey, you got to sit out a race, or we're going to give you a 10-point penalty or anything of that nature. They cannot have that at all. At all. So you are right in what you've said.
All right, so I think this last bit here is you.
Yeah, it's me, and I got one other thing too. Did you see the article on the Michelin rear slick that was in Motorsports Magazine? It basically said that the slick that has been built this year is a better slick for inline fours than for the V4s, which that explains potentially why Rins was so fast on the Suzuki. If you have a sweet handling bike such as that, a little bit of power, and a slick that's going to give you a lot of edge grip, which is kind of what you need on a inline four, because once you get that big crank laid over in a corner, it wants to stay in that position. So you use a lot of edge grip, a la Lorenzo, right? And now you take that away and you put that same good tire on to a V4, like the KTM or the Ducati or the Honda with Marquez. Are they really going to be at a disadvantage or not? Don't know. But if anybody can ride around the rear tire problem on a V4, it's going to be Marc Marquez. And that's because Johnny Ray did an interview with Matt Oxley on Motorsports Magazine, and he says that he is so glad that he does not have to race against Marc Marquez, because he says that Mark is the master of adapting his personal riding style to suit the conditions, and he has a knack for understanding very quickly how that motorcycle must be ridden to achieve the maximum. So coming from a guy who set every record that there is in World Superbikes, to say that I really don't want to go ride against this guy and here's why is a shattering statement. Now, the young guns, Quartararo, you know, Morbidelli, they don't really care. They're going to go after Marquez, and that's great, and I'm fine with that. But that's a powerful, powerful statement that Johnny Ray has made. And quite honestly, I'm mad that I never figured out that part of it, because that's so true. Witness, and you know, you set up bikes for people, but the thing is, you sometimes have to really adapt your style of how you race or ride that motorcycle to fit that motorcycle and its particular characteristics. I will give you the fact that Valentino Rossi has changed his style of how he races a motorcycle more times than I can shake a stick at, because he rode 500s on two strokes and mastered that. He had 990s with very limited traction control, mastered that in a different riding style. Rossi was never an elbow down kind of guy, yet now he can do that too in the new world that we live in of ultra high grip and amazing corner speed. And that's where Marquez is brilliant, because he can feel the motorcycle within, you know, if they bring a new tire, he rides 3-5 laps of practice in first practice session. He then just simply morphs his body style or his positioning or his racing style, however you want to say it. He morphs to that motorcycle and says, well, this tire needs to be treated like this, and I need to hang off more or off less or shift my weight forward or back, or I need to be over the bars a little more when I brake, or I got to be back a little bit more. Whatever it is, he simply instinctively understands what that is and simply gets the absolute maximum out of the motorcycle amazingly quick. That's why Marquez is always on the pace from the minute that they go. And I think that's something that Casey Stoner could do too. This isn't really limited to just Marquez, but Stoner had that same kind of magic. I think he could just simply adapt very quickly to whatever the motorcycle was. And you know, I'll do it because I can. Formula One analogy, Michael Schumacher used to say that when you raced a car in the rain, you would listen to the car. And he said, but in the rain, you had to hear it would whisper to you. And I think that's kind of what happens with like these guys like Marquez, Stoner, the guys that are always out there very much on that edge. They can listen to the bike. They can listen to the tires, and somehow they can hear what the tires are saying and how they're talking to them. Like, hey, you're pushing me too hard. You're braking too late. You're not braking hard enough. You're braking not too early. What they understand that somehow they have a direct translator between those two things. And somehow it makes it magic. And that's why we watch. So that's all I got, bud.
Yeah, I love it. I just wanted to sit back and quiet. You got on a roll there. I was like, all right, here we go. No, sorry. Sometimes you just got to let it go. It was great. All right. So, and of course, the final bit of news this week is racing is back, baby. We get to see it. And we're going to go from race to race. Now, just make sure the circus stays safe. That's the main thing. We cannot have any positive tests going on, but we're not going to think about that. We're just going to think about weekend after weekend of racing. A crazy season, one that we've never seen before with back-to-backs, different tracks.
Backs.
Oh, it is going to be something special this year.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm super excited. I have nothing but racing to watch this weekend. That's great. I mean, that's pretty much every weekend until December at this point, which is wonderful for race heads and petrol heads all around. That's great. So, for those of you who have made it into the show, you'll notice that we have been absent. When we said we wanted to stick around quite a bit more, and that is because in my family and what I've been dealing with here, we've had some unfortunate setbacks. As I mentioned previously, a couple episodes ago, like I was saying, my mom had been battling breast cancer, and she still is. She's going through her chemo. She's put up a good fight. She's doing well. But in the midst of while our family was dealing with that, a very unfortunate situation came up to where my wife's brother, my brother-in-law, he was in the Sheriff's Academy training to become a sheriff. It had been a lifelong dream of his. He was doing a combat drill, started no longer responding to the commands of the officers, the training officers. He then fainted, and the EMTs got to him right then and there. They lost his heartbeat. They brought him back up with CPR, chest compressions, all that. Got him to the hospital. Hospital examined. They took some CT scans of his chest. They realized they had a lot of blood, internal bleeding. They rushed him to the trauma center. Trauma center said, we got to put him in surgery. And not much longer after that, they came out and told us he was no longer with us. And so that set off a chain of events with the family that were very difficult to deal with. I myself was a wreck for the better part of 2 weeks. None of us went to work. It was definitely something that hurt a lot because we didn't even, you know, when you watch your parents go away, you can kind of, you know your whole life that you're going to have to lay them to rest one day. And you never really can prepare for someone that's so close to you in age to be gone so soon. And this is, you know, a guy that, you know, my brother-in-law that we were supposed to be having barbecues and going camping, and we ride motorcycles together, and I have my stuff that I teach him, and he has his stuff that he teaches me, and he has his kids, my niece and my nephew, and it's been a very difficult time. So I definitely had to take a step back from the show. And then we were supposed to record last week, and then I found out that I have developed a stone fruit allergy, so I swallowed my whole face up. So it's just been quite the rough patch here on this end of the show. And that's why we've been delayed so much into getting this out. But it was definitely a difficult time that I'm glad I was able to kind of take a step away from everything. And, you know, hope you guys out there, you know, don't mind us missing a few weeks, I'm sure. None of you do. But it's just kind of one of those things with the way this year is going. You know, we've been reminded, you know, life is precious, life is fragile, and time is short. And we have to enjoy what we can. And this year as well, you know, I'm on both sides of this coin, where at one point I've been dealing with so much tragedy in my family and have to deal with this and be strong. But on the other side, I'm going to be a dad in January.
Congratulations, my man. Wow. You know, first of all, let me say my deepest and condolences to you, your family. My thoughts and prayers are with you. And may I remind you of one thing? Motorcycle racing is great. We love it. It is our escape, but it is not our life. And the most important thing in life is your family and your well-being. So you take the time you need, because if you want, I'll carry it to the show on my own back, because I got your back, bro. And that's how it has to be.
And I appreciate that. And it's just kind of nice to kind of get back to some normalcy and doing the show and things like that. And, you know, I'm definitely excited. We get to find out if we're having a boy or a girl this weekend. So after this race weekend, I'll have that to announce next weekend or next on the next show. Okay, as well.
Okay. So if a Yamaha wins, it's a boy, right? And if, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what's pink. I don't think anybody's really got any pink, right?
No, I guess Ducati would be the closest.
LCR had some pink in there at one point, didn't they?
Hey, maybe. They've had every color in there.
Yeah, well, who knows? We have to come up with some kind of cool reveal for the show.
You'll have to do it. We'll have to see. We've got a week to figure it out, so we'll put it together. But again, thank you, Jim. No problem. So that's it for us. We'll go ahead and get us out of here. Don't forget, you can email us at motopod@motopodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook. So that's at facebook.com/motopod. That is the Motopod fan page. You can go over there. We kind of post it there from time to time. We also have a Twitter account that's @moto_pod. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram @SkylarV28. Jim, where can people find you?
MotoRGV, Instagram and Twitter. People, get your helmet strapped on tight. Make sure you get fresh knee pucks, because it's going to come at you fast and furious. So be sure you are ready for this. You have a week.
It gets no better. Alrighty, Jim. Until next time, everybody else, zoom, zoom.